This very week, from Thursday through Saturday, the annual meeting of the Evangelical Covenant Church, which is the denomination to which we belong, is meeting right here in Minneapolis. And as a denomination, we will come together, covenanters from all over the country and all over the world. We will consecrate missionaries, ordain pastors, hear reports on ministries all over the world, and we will vote in new leaders. This week's annual meeting will be the final meeting for President Gary Walter to serve in his role. As he retires, he'll be remembering for telling us over and over, for telling pastors and lay people in the Evangelical Covenant Church that we are in it together as a denomination. In it together, sharing ministry and proclaiming Jesus to people far and near. We are in it together, or we're better together, as some have said, as the people of God. We come together to do the work of God, and we come together to worship God. And it's been that way, not just since the covenant began, but since there were people of God. For instance, as Ed pointed out to us earlier, in roughly 537 BC, we read about the people of God as they come together. 50 years previously, they were devastated as the Babylonians came in and took over Jerusalem. They razed the walls of Jerusalem. They tore down the temple, sort of like three-year-olds can do. And they hauled a large number of people into exile to live in Babylon, leaving a poor and powerless remnant behind in Jerusalem. The Babylonians took those people of God who left Jerusalem, their home, with only what they could carry on their backs, to live in a culture that they abhorred, Babylon. And they were a long way from home, a long way from their customs of worship, and a long way from God, or so it seemed, and they longed to go home. For almost 50 years, they lived that way. It was long enough for some of them to die without ever being able to return to Jerusalem. It was long enough for many of them to be born in Babylon and not ever having seen Jerusalem. It was long enough to think that maybe God had forgotten them. Some would remember there was this prophecy that God would rescue us, but when is that going to happen? And it was long enough, though, for Babylon to fall to the Persians and a new king to come into power. And that new king not only invites the Israelites to return to Jerusalem, but he gives them what they need, the money, the manpower, and the time to reconstruct the temple. And so we find them in Ezra chapter 3, starting with verse 8. It says this, in the second month of the second year after their, the people of God, after their arrival at the house of God in Jerusalem, oh, I forgot to mention, there's a whole lot of people with big names in this passage. Here's what I always tell people when they read scripture, they get nervous. If you say it boldly, people will think you know what you're talking about. So, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, and the rest of the people, whew, the ones named Bob and Cindy, the rest of the people who were the priests and the Levites and all who had returned from captivity to Jerusalem began the work. They appointed Levites that were 20 years old and older to supervise the building of the house of the Lord. Joshua and his sons and brothers and Kadmiel and his sons, who were descendants of Hodaviah, and the sons of Henadad and their sons and brothers, all the Levites, joined together in supervising those who were working on the house of God. The people had to come together. They came together to do the work of God, and every single one of them was needed, and not one of them could have done the work on their own. For this job, they needed crew leaders to lead crews. They needed designers to see what the temple would look like. They needed engineers to make sure the structure would stand. They needed food makers to feed the workers. They needed storytellers to remind the people where they came from. They needed historians and storytellers, they're both very important. Historians to look back and storytellers to continue the word going around. They needed accountants. You're welcome, Mike Marasco. They needed accountants to make sure they kept to their budget. They needed spiritual leaders to point them to God. They needed station or site directors. They needed muscle, people with strong arms to move things. They needed prayer partners to keep the whole thing covered in prayer. And they needed each other. As the work begins to restore the temple, to put back together the house of God, no one person can accomplish it. There is no one person who can do the job, and God intended it that way. They needed to come together as the people of God to do the work of God that God commanded them to do. That was 2,500 years ago, but nothing has changed. Still, God's plan for getting his work done, for getting the word out, for meeting the poor with compassion, mercy, and justice, for proclaiming salvation, requires the people of God to come together. And so just last week, we met here in this space, and over 75 volunteers were here to take care of just twice as many children. And what we needed this week was to be reminded that no one person could do the job on their own. We needed crew leaders to lead little groups of kids around. We needed designers to decorate. We needed engineers to put things together. We needed food makers to give us delicious snacks every day. We needed historians to say, this is what we've done in the past. We needed storytellers to tell the good stories about Jesus. We needed accountants to keep track of the money. We needed spiritual leaders to point to Jesus. We needed site directors or station leaders to lead each individual place where the kids would go. We needed some muscle to put things together and to tear things down. We needed prayer partners to cover this place and every kid in prayer. And we needed each other. We needed to work together because no one job was enough. No single person could have done it alone. At the end of the week, our leader, Jessica Brandt, who took on VBS this year, gave each of us a card with a note in it. On the card, it said this: alone we can do so little. Together we can do so much. The work went forward. We told kids about Jesus' love for them. We helped kids be part of the work of God in helping people who didn't have everything they need get something that they needed. No one person could accomplish all of this. God intended it that way. And there are so many stories to tell about Vacation Bible School. Anyone who was here this week has a story to tell. If you were here for VBS as a kid or a worker, would you stand up real quick? They have stories to tell. Please ask them at some point. We needed to come together as the people of God to do the work of God here in Excelsior. But God's work is never just happening in one place at one time. There was also the work at Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. A team of 24 left Excelsior Covenant Church a week ago Saturday at 5 in the morning to head for Pine Ridge, South Dakota. This team had to come together to do the work of God, to show the love of Jesus through home repair, tutoring, relationships, kids ministry, and more. And guess what? No one job could be done by No one person could do all the jobs. Guess what they needed? They needed crew leaders to lead crews of workers. They needed designers to make plans for what they would do. They needed engineers to make sure that the things would stay where they were intended to stay. They needed food makers to keep the people fed. They needed historians to say, this is where we've come from, and this is the place that we're going. They needed storytellers to tell the story of God. They needed accountants to keep them to the budget. They needed spiritual leaders to point to Jesus. They needed station leaders to make sure the work got done in the place. They needed muscle to change at least 2 flat tires that they had during the week. They needed prayer partners at home and abroad holding them up in prayer. And they needed each other. When they left last week, I asked them to report in. I said, send me your pictures, send me your thoughts, send me whatever's going on. And I said, tell me, how do you notice God at work? How do you experience coming together to do the work of God and to worship God? And I got all kinds of texts and photos and stories and short sentences, people saying this: hey, as we approached the reservation, I saw God in the minds of people who are wondering, what is this place? I heard a story. Someone said, I saw the work of God because I made a new friend, and I showed him how to use his Bible. Someone else said, I saw God through the children. We gave away 56 Bibles at our children's ministry this week. I had a conversation with the mom of a man that I write letters to. He's in prison, and she has cancer. Someone else said it was my first time at Pine Ridge, but I saw God with the people who already had relationships with those there in Pine Ridge. Others said, I saw God in the beautiful creation in that place. And many of them said it was in the faces of children and people that they had known for a long, long time. Two of those team members are going to tell you their own story of ways that they came together or saw God at work this week. So Paula Carley and Kelly Lewis are going to come up and share with you something that they sent to me earlier.
Good morning. My name is Paula Carley, and I was able to go on the trip to Pine Ridge last week. This was our 21st year in a row going to visit the Lakota people on Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. And this is Jalen. And you don't need to focus on me. This isn't about me. So just look at Jalen's face and think about the work that God is doing on the reservation. When I met Jalen, I don't even remember. She was probably in a diaper still. And what's amazing is being able to go year after year and revisit these friends that we've made. Each morning we'll go, part of our team will go into the neighborhood where Jalen lives, right in front of her house, and set up a little tent, a little tarp on the ground, and have a kids program. And like I mentioned, Jalen has grown up with us in the kids program. And as they are growing, we are hoping to continue our relationship with them. So it's great because we can get to know the children, and then also the children and adults who have grown into teens and older will come out of the home once in a while and say hi to us. This year I had a chance to take a little car ride with Jalen. My mom, Peggy, was dropping a few things off for the children's program. And Jalen and her mother, Janine, and I were all chatting together, and we had to go pick up Dennis Harvey, who was serving at the school in the morning, but he was about to come over and pretend he was going to come and visit our children's program. So we were going to go pick up Dennis Harvey so he could come and visit, and we didn't want to stop our conversation with Jalen and her mother, Janine. So we got to hop in the car and drive to pick up Dennis. Maybe 10, 14 years ago, when Jalen was really little, her mother, Janine, and many of her other close Lakota friends got into a little bit of trouble, and they had to serve some consequences in prison. And her mother, Janine, was there for, I think, 8 years. And each of the 8 summers, as the years passed, while Janine was serving her time, we were able to come and visit with Jalen and her brother, Devin, and her other family members. We also started the prison letter writing ministry, which is led by Lindsay Finch. So if any of you have a heart to communicate with our friends who are currently still serving time in prison, please talk to Lindsay, because it's an amazing ministry. And we share so much love with these people, and we want to continue to love them. So anyways, it was just a wonderful car ride. We talked with Janine, because she's out of prison now, and we're back together. And she shared with us about her time and how she learned so much while she was there, and she took advantage of everything. She went to the Bible studies, and she learned how to work on roads and use trucks and different things. I don't know all the programs they have in that prison, but she took advantage of it all. And before we were leaving, we shared many, many hugs. And I love you, I love you. It's so good to see you. You know, we'll see you next year. And Janine started crying a little bit. She's like, I just got overwhelmed for a minute. And me too. and she had been talking about her old self, and that's not who she is anymore. And I was just seeing the work of God in her life and her perseverance to overcome the difficulties. Life on the reservation is infinitely difficult, and God is infinitely able to help those there. And I know I should wrap up here in just 1 minute. talk to us after the service, because there's so much to say, but I just was able to affirm to Janine, hey, in Christ, you are a new creation. The old is gone, and the new has come, and that's you. And those were things that she was expressing, and I brought that verse into the mix, and we just shared a big hug, one big family. So that's what I like to portray is, you know, even if you come, they will love you too, because you're part of our family, and their relationships are something that God is continuing to use to bless us, teach us about God through his work in these people. And they share so much with us. They are amazing survivors and wonderful people. And I hope that you can come sometime to meet our friends. And thank you for those of you who stay home to pray and be you here supporting us there. We love you.
Hi, I'm Kelly Lewis. I'm a public school teacher, 7th grade at MMW, and I had a chance to work with Icy Wilson. You can see in the picture there. Icy teaches special ed, and her two kids, Darius, the boy I'm next to, and Kyla. So it's being there is amazing. I was excited to be there. I had no idea what I was going to be doing. My first time there, what's the schools like? I just had lots of questions. So my story is this. So I'm with these kids for the week, and because we only had two of them, I was able to work one-on-one with Darius, and it really is great because each of those kids needs one-on-one attention and love. I got a chance to work through the twos and the threes and the multiplication table. I was so excited. Darius was working through. I said, Darius, when we get through twos all the way up to 10, I'm going to jump up in the chair. I'm going to scream and shout and, you know, do one of these things. He's a really quiet boy, but you can see him kind of giggling, and he finally got it. And so it's just those little successes. Then on Thursday, I was kind of pondering, going, boy, I'd love to have a present to give to these kids. And they really didn't have anything. Krista Larson comes back from her kids program. And just happens, and this is the work of God that we would see all week, you guys. It's just, it gives me chills. Just happened to say, hey, Kelly, I've got two extra blankets. You got any need for these? Two, right? Two blankets that they had put together in the kids program. And I said, absolutely. So the next day, Friday, we're in the classrooms, air conditioned. Kyla's getting a little chilled, and I go, oh, this is perfect timing. So I got a little something for you guys. So I pull out the blanket, put one on Kyla, put one on Darius. They never took it off. It was just this kind of almost a shawl-like blanket. We went from there to lunch. We went from lunch to the playground, from playground to watching a movie. So it was just really, really cool. I need to look at one thing here because this is something I said and Chris said, you know, make sure you say this. It was such a simple thing that God ordained. And that night, so this was Thursday night after Krista had said the thing about the blanket, we had a man named Larry speak to us, and he was a classmate of Carlton Peterson, those of us who remember Carlton, who passed away about 10 years ago from cancer. So here's Larry, a classmate of Carlton. He's a Lutheran pastor speaking to us. And one of the things he said really struck me is what he said is, it's just important that you're here. I went into this really going, God, I want to be used, and I want to see you at work. And it just helped me to just say, just the fact that we come, and Excelsior Covenant has such a great ministry there, and to be with the people at Pine Ridge. And my prayer as I prepared to come was that God would both use me to serve and to bless the people of Pine Ridge, and at the same time, he'd allow me to see him at work. My story is simply one of many God encounters that we had this week. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support.
We didn't have time for everybody to tell their story, nor did everybody want to stand in front and tell a story. So one of those team members said, I could tell you a little bit about what he said. And he said, I see God through these deeply spiritual people, and I see God in this truly beautiful landscape. He said, when I struggled today with our work conditions, and he says, roach-infested squalor would not be inaccurate. My teammates were there beside me working with servants' hearts, chatting with children who live there and making them feel at ease with us. He writes, the kitchen and the bathroom remodel. So you can see the bathroom before and after. And the kitchen before and after. He said, those are nearing completion for a man named Norman Bearshirt. While this may look rough, he says, it's come a long way from where we started. Norm is very pleased, and he's a very sweet man. As he says, we are brothers in Christ. It can be a challenge to communicate because he has no teeth and he is deaf. As we struggle with our working conditions, nobody complains. We recognize that we're not there to fix it, just to make it a little better. One leader puts it into perspective, and another says, we're not here to cure, we are here to care. And then finally, I know the Lord is here, and we're here to do his work. I see God in the smile on Norm's face. God's work is not always easy, nor is the reward evident immediately. Don't we all know that? The Pine Ridge team had to come together. They have too many stories to tell, so ask them if the Pine Ridge team would stand up quick, then you can see a face or a person. And you can ask them their stories later. So as it has been for so long, the people of God come together as God ordained to do God's work, work that no one can do alone. But the people of God also come together to worship God in a way that they cannot do alone. Continuing in Ezra chapter 3, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, so when the work had just begun, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, who were the sons of Asaph, came with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, "He is good, and his love endures forever." And all the people gave a shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple wept aloud when they saw the foundation of the temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sounds of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard from far away. The foundation is laid, the work has begun, but it is far from being done, and all the people come together. And now they come to worship, not to say, "Look what we've done," and celebrate what they've done, but to say, "Look what God has done, and look at what God has let us be a part of." When they worship together, they give a great shout of praise, they shout with joy, they weep aloud, and the people make so much noise that people can hear them from far away. What is going on there at the temple site? But they come together to worship with mixed emotions. There's joy as the foundation is laid. They think, "Well, this is so great. We're going to have a temple. There'll be a place for God to dwell." But at the same time, there are those who feel sorrow. "I remember what the old temple was like. I know this is going to take so long. I will not live to see it completed." You see, worship doesn't only mean happy feelings. In their worship, they weep, but they still point to God as the one who can hear, the one who bears their sorrows, and the only one that will heal and rescue. Dave Gozen from Pine Ridge said this, as they gathered to worship every evening after they completed the work of the day, he said, "When we worship, there are many emotions: elation, gratitude, peace, exhaustion, love, camaraderie, and simultaneously a sense of helplessness and accomplishment." When the foundation is laid, the people come together to worship, but it isn't the last time. 2+ millennia later, we come together to worship, and we do it here every Sunday, and sometimes on other days too. We come together having been at God's work, and we come together to worship. But you know what? We come with mixed emotions every week. And we come to worship in a way that none of us can do on our own. We come together to know that we're not alone. We come together to be part of something that's bigger than ourselves. We come together to praise God and to remember what God has done. We come together to hear the word of the Lord. We come together to praise, to proclaim God's goodness and love and mercy and salvation. We come together to do something we can't do alone. We come together for God's benefit. We come here and we say, "God, you deserve the best. You deserve the volume and the energy and the variety and the strength of many people coming together. You deserve, Lord, 1,000 tongues to sing your praise, or 250, or 4 million. We come together, God, for you, and may you hear our joy high on the ceiling to be heard from far away in heaven. We come together for God, and what God sees is all of the kids, all of his children coming together to do their part He sees us getting along, united in belief, loving and trusting God, and focusing on God. We come together for God. But honestly, we come together also for our own good. We need each other. We need each other to worship corporately. We need each other to make us better singers so that the pretty voices combine with the not-so-pretty voices to make a beautiful sound. We come together to make us better prayers. Sometimes it's another voice that helps us find the words that we cannot. We come together because we're better rememberers. And others can help us remember what God has done and what God does. We come together because we are better together as bearers of Christ to one another. We come together when we cannot do it on our own to look for others to help. We come together when we can worship for the sake of others. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says it this way, and he says it in very masculine language. I might fix it. The Christian needs another Christian who speaks God's word to him. He needs him again and again when he becomes uncertain and discouraged. For by herself, she cannot help herself without belying the truth. He needs his brother man. She needs his sister woman. Her sister, oh, this is going to be hard. As bearer and proclaimer of the divine word of salvation, the Christian needs a brother and a sister solely because of Jesus Christ. The Christ in his own heart is weaker than the Christ in the word of his sister. Her heart is uncertain. Her brother's is sure. We come together because we need each other. To point to Jesus, to lift us up, we come because we are better together. I can stand next to you and point to God. We can stand together and be unified in praise. I can stand next to you even if I don't know your name, and we can worship our God. I can stand next to you even if I don't agree with you on anything, and we can worship God together. I can stand next to you even if I don't like you, even though God says I have to love you, but because I need you and you need me. We come together because that is what God desires. We come together to be the people of God, to do the work of God, and to worship God. This week, I said it was Vacation Bible School, and we filled this room with children every single day. And on Friday at the closing, when we got together and they were going to sing their songs, I was exhausted. My brain was full and tired, and if you had asked me to think, or if you'd asked me to write a sermon or be thoughtful, I could not have done anything on Friday. But at Vacation Bible School, we come together to do the work of God and to worship, no matter if we're tired or full of energy. And at the end of the week, the kids were all here, and they have all this energy, and the songs are playing. And I'm standing in the middle of the aisle, right over there, with kids all over. And one of my best friends, who's also one of my daughters, comes, and she wraps her arms around my waist. And I wrapped my arms around her. And as we sang the song, the voices of 150 children and grown-ups belted out the words. The words were this: I am holding on to you. I am holding on to you in the middle of the storm. I am holding on to you. And guess what? I couldn't actually sing. I couldn't raise my voice, but I could raise my heart because I was part of something bigger. The song still went on, the words still came out, and as a part of the collective people of God, from little to big, from age 1 to age 90, I don't know, we were part of something. And earlier in the week, I had wondered about that song. I had wondered, what do these words mean when it says, I am holding on to you? I thought, is it God saying, I am holding on to you? Or is it the individual singer saying, I'm holding on to you, God? Or is it all the people together saying, I'm holding on to you, sister in Christ or brother in Christ? And as I stood there, I answered my own question. And the answer was yes. And I would never have gotten there on my own. On my own, I would have pondered that song. But in the midst of the people of God, worshiping God, I found myself in a new place. If there's any takeaway from this message today, any encouragement for you or urging to any of us, it's this: don't try to go it alone. You are meant to be something beyond yourself and bigger than ourselves, of the people of God coming together to do God's work and coming together to worship. God graciously and lovingly calls us his people. He calls us the children of God. And we get to come together in that way to participate in God's work and in the worship of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the example of your people who came home to Jerusalem and began the work that took so long, but the work that caused them to stop and to worship whenever they could. And just like that, Lord, we are your people, and we come together to do your work. We do the best we can with the jobs that you've given us to proclaim the message of salvation, to get the word out to the people, to care for the poor, to meet people in need, to bring healing and help in the name of Jesus. And we also come together, Lord, to give you worship. We thank you for that we are brothers and sisters, that we are family in Christ, and we can stand together and do something that is bigger than any of us on our own as we worship you. As we sing this song and collectively say, amen, Lord, hear our praise. Amen. Amen.